Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Our church covenant tells us that we will not only be slow to take offense, but also ready for reconciliation. This, of course, is a commitment by church members to one another in the body of Christ, and it is simply reflecting what is taught us in the Word of God. So in the first place, we commit ourselves to being slow to take offense, rather than being super sensitive, thin-skinned, carrying a chip on our shoulder, in the various terms that we often use to describe that kind of person who is so easily offended. But the Bible calls upon us to be just the opposite, to be slow to take offense, not easily offended, but we must secondly be ready for reconciliation. And what is that but a recognition that there will be times when we will offend, or when we will be offended? It's going to happen. It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. And that's why we need to be ready for reconciliation. Be ready to restore friendship, harmony, relationships within the body of Christ. And why are we to be ready for reconciliation? Well, there are a number of reasons, and let me try to give you some. First of all, we need to understand the grief of our Lord Jesus Christ when members of His body are not in harmony one with another. What did Christ pray in that high priestly prayer found in John chapter 17? He prayed in verse 11 that they may be one as we are one, praying to His Heavenly Father. In fact, He said that twice in verse 11 and again in verse 22, that they may be one even as we are one. Members of the body of Christ, members of churches, Christians, are to be as united in oneness of purpose and endeavor and harmony as the members of the triune Godhead are with each other, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who are in perfect harmony one with another. That's the standard. So we have got a ways to go, don't we? That's the standard. It reminds me of the standard by which husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it. You say, how could anybody love his wife that much? I don't know, but that's the standard. That's the goal we are to be shooting toward. And until we reach that goal, we haven't loved our wives enough. My hand is up. I'm guilty. I have not loved my wife as much as Christ has loved and is loving the church. Christ gave Himself for the church. Christ laid down His life for the church. I haven't done that for my wife. Haven't been called upon to do that for my wife. And I'm afraid I fall short of even the things that lead up to but don't require that much giving of myself for my wife. It isn't often that a person would be called upon to literally lay down his life for his wife. But there are a lot of other sacrifices that we can make and are called upon to make. But we are still sinful, fallen sons of Adam. And we are still too selfish, too self-centered, too insensitive. And all of us are. We are not yet fully sanctified. Only Christ, who is holy and perfect and without sin, without spot, could demonstrate that kind of utterly selfless sacrifice that was willing to lay down His life for His people. And yet there are human examples of people laying down their lives for others. We know that. Nobody has done that with the same purity of motive and extent of love that Christ did for the church, but some have done that and have come to an amazingly close degree to demonstrating what Christ did for the church. But most of us husbands haven't gotten even close to that yet, have we? So we've got a ways to go, a long ways to go. We've got a lot to work on. We've got a goal that is high and frankly unattainable, but it is still the goal that God has set before us. And so that means we've got to keep working and growing and making progress in the way we love our wives until we die and go to heaven. Well, likewise here. We are to try to have the same kind of harmony within the body of Christ that the members of the Trinity have with one another. That's the goal. That's the standard. That's how much unity we are to have with one another in the body of Christ. And until we have achieved that goal, we haven't reached the required level of unity, have we? This is another one of those areas to demonstrate what Christ meant when he said, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one for another." What is that? Slow to take offense? Ready for reconciliation. And so we need to be ready for this because we understand the grief of Christ when members of his body are not in harmony with one another. We need to be ready for reconciliation because we understand the liability to the cause of Christ upon earth when members of Christ's body are not properly related to one another. It does impair our testimony to the world when Christians fight and fuss, when churches fight and splinter and split. It demonstrates a high level of ineffectiveness of proper body function. What about church splits? Are they ever warranted? I think sometimes they are. I think there's no question about it. There are times when error, when sin, when unwillingness to conform to the Word of God becomes so entrenched in a particular church that the only thing that's left to do after every other effort has been made, and that's the problem. So many times every other effort has not yet been made. But after every other biblical effort has been made to call that church back to a biblical standard and have failed to do that, there comes a time when Bible-believing, obedient Christians will have to depart. And sometimes it may be that they will depart in sufficient numbers simultaneously that they perhaps could legitimately start another church. That may be the only option open to them in some cases. So to say that all church splits are always wrong would be way overstating the case. But to assume that most church splits are warranted and are sanctioned by God's word and are pleasing to God is going way too far the other way. I read recently of somebody who said he'd been to a town. I'd like to see this myself and know where it is. He'd been to a town where at one intersection, the four corners of the intersection had First Baptist Church, Second Baptist Church, Third Baptist Church, and Forest Baptist Church of that town. That is incredible. I've never seen that. But I have seen some funny things. I've seen a church split and the people go down the road a little ways and start Harmony Baptist Church. Or maybe it was Unity Baptist Church. Well, I understand what they're trying to do. Apparently they'd had quite a war on the other one and they didn't think it was right or godly. And so they start over and they want to emphasize the kind of unity and harmony that ought to exist in the body of Christ. But there's something a bit paradoxical about people splitting out of a church and starting a new church and naming it Unity Baptist Church. Where was that unity displayed before the church split? Maybe if there had been a little more commitment to that, there would have never been a split to start with. And so we are to be slow to take offense and ready for reconciliation. We ought to be ready for reconciliation because we feel love one toward another. And therefore, we grieve when there exists a breach in the body of Christ. That's the way we ought to do it. We're not supposed to suffer indignities in silence and build seething resentments. We are not to report our hurts to others. We are to tell them to God, and we are to go to our estranged brother. That's what the Bible tells us what to do. Ready for reconciliation with the person that we have a strained relationship with. We are to be ready for reconciliation. How do we do that? By the way, let me read Matthew chapter 5, verse 24 or 23. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. How do we make ourselves ready for reconciliation? Well, first of all, by preparing our hearts before God in seasons of prayer, not just a quick prayer, but seasons of prayer. Examining our heart, combing through our actions, asking God to show us the true condition of our heart, the true state of our motives, so that we can be ready to acknowledge our wrongs as we seek reconciliation. And so we first prepare our hearts before God, and we secondly prepare our hearts toward our brother. We pray for that person that we are estranged from, that prayer has a wonderful healing power when we start praying truly for the health, the success, the spiritual well-being of that other person. Thirdly, by maintaining an attitude that invites reconciliation. To be ready for reconciliation means that we are looking for it. We are eager for it. We are seeking it. We are longing for it. We are open to it. And continue to remain ready, even if perhaps a first attempt on our part fails. We aren't supposed to say at that point, "All right, that's it. I tried. That's the end." No, slow to take offense. Ready for reconciliation. Always ready for reconciliation. Continue to be ready for reconciliation. Staying ready for reconciliation. Obviously, God has to do something in the hearts of both parties if reconciliation is going to occur. And sometimes you will make an effort to reach out and bridge that gap, and it will be repulsed. That's always difficult, but that does happen. Sometimes you do that, and that's exactly what happens. It will be repulsed. So what do you do? Remain ready for reconciliation. You've got to be sure that if there is a continued breach, you can say with a sincere and honest and forthright heart before God, "It's not because I'm not willing to reconcile." It takes two, but so many times, neither is willing to reconcile. Sometimes, one or the other or both does not want reconciliation. "I don't want anything to do with that person. I'm done with them." That's wrong. That's sinful. That's unbecoming a member of Christ's body. That's contrary to the commitment of our church covenant that we entered into by becoming a member of the church. We must remain slow to take offense and always ready for reconciliation. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.